It's now my pleasure to invite to our pulpit Tim Monroe, the Executive Director of Al Hogar Ministries in North America, to bring a word of hope about all God's children this day.
Thank you, Reverend Reed. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for allowing me the honor of being with you today. I also want to particularly thank Susan Franklin and Margot Mingay and David Windsor for inviting me here this weekend and for being such loyal leaders, supporters, and advocates of El Hogar. And particularly, all those people last night at the Shindig who had such a wonderful time and who really made this trip for me so meaningful. I so much appreciate your hard work and your joy in this work. So thank you so very much. My theme for this morning is hope. I think appropriate for a baptism morning, what can be more hopeful than being welcomed for the first time into a faith community? I am a recovering English teacher and a lifelong lover of all things literary. So I beg your indulgence as I start with a poem, a short poem, while not scripture, perhaps sacred to some. Hope is the thing with feathers, by Emily Dickinson. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in our soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never, in extremity, it asked a crumb of me. When I started my job at El Hogar about a year ago, I asked my new colleagues about our mission statement. In it, we refer to the children we care for as abandoned and hopelessly poor. I wondered, if they were hopeless, what was the point? To add further confusion, the name of the elementary school is El Hogar de Amor y Esperanza, the home of love and hope. Did we really mean that our students have no hope? Of course, we did not, and we don't. It was just language left over from many years ago. Now we say this: El Hogar provides a quality education and a safe and nurturing home to poor and disadvantaged children in Honduras. Our goal is to break the cycle of poverty so that our students can fulfill their potential as productive and independent Honduran citizens. I think there's a great deal of hope in that. At this time last week, I was in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, visiting El Hogar. As I said, I've been in this job for about 1 year, and this was my third trip down there. I was there with a team of four, including myself. The purpose of our trip was to do a lot of filming and interviewing of staff and students and leaders so that we can put together new language, new video, new images, new visuals for a new website and new materials that we're beginning to build. We flew in Thursday afternoon and went straight from the airport to visit some El Hogar families in a neighborhood in Tegucigalpa. At the first house we visited, we met with Amelia. She's the head of a household with her son, her daughter, and her daughter's three little children, two of whom are day students at El Hogar. The six of them live in a tiny shack with a tin roof and no running water on a narrow strip of land between the river and the wall that protects the neighborhood from the river. They live in that area. Anytime there's a heavy rain and the waters rise, they need to seek shelter in another place. This is the same area when in 1998, Hurricane Mitch destroyed whole neighborhoods and thousands in Honduras died. Their house is in a community about 10 minutes from El Hogar called Betania, where daily the residents face the threat of violence and extortion from gangs. Emilia works making and selling tortillas. Her income averages about 200 Honduran lempiras per day, somewhere around $8 American. Amelia, an abuela, a grandma, told us that she has begun to travel on a regular basis across the city to a place called Ciudad Mujer, the city of women, where she said she is studying. She's going to school. Ciudad Mujer is a governmental nonprofit organization that provides a variety of free services to women and to which she was introduced through her connection with El Hogar. In my rudimentary Spanish, I asked her, "What are you studying?" Almost before the words left my mouth, my brain was saying, "What a stupid question. It doesn't matter what she is studying. This grandma, this abuela, has never been to school in her life. So of course she's learning to read and to write and to do basic math. She is learning. She is growing. She is modeling this for her children and her grandchildren. She is demonstrating by her actions that there is a future. That's what education is, the promise of a future for all of them. If that's not hope, I don't know what is." At El Hogar, we provide a home, an education, and a future to more than 200 children, ages 6 to about 18, on two campuses. Having begun as a program for boys in recent years, we have welcomed girls to the centers, and we are now a fully coeducational program. In the last 2 years, we have welcomed an influx of day students on what was primarily residential elementary campus in Tegucigalpa, which has enriched the school community tremendously and has offered many opportunities to widen the web of engagement with families like Amelia's and their larger communities. Honduras, according to the CIA World Factbook, is one of the poorest countries in Latin America and has one of the world's highest murder rates. More than half of the population lives in poverty, and per capita income is one of the lowest in the region, less than $6,000 a year. If you do the math, Amelia's income is less than half of that. The increased productivity needed to break Honduras' persistent high poverty rate depends in part on further improvements in educational attainment. Educational quality is poor, the dropout rate and grade repetition are high, and teacher and school accountability are very low. Population growth and limited job prospects outside of agriculture will continue to drive emigration from Honduras to other countries. Remittances, that money sent back by those who have immigrated back to Honduras, represents a fifth of the gross domestic product of Honduras, about 20%. The mean age of mothers at first birth in Honduras is 20.4, to give you some perspective. In the USA, it's 26. In Canada, it's 29. It is in this context that U.S. has seen such a steep rise in immigration from Honduras and the other countries of the Northern Triangle, El Salvador and Guatemala. In the U.S., we hear rhetoric that dehumanizes these immigrants, referring to them as an invasion or as people coming for nefarious or even criminal purposes. The vast, vast majority of people leaving Honduras are people like Amelia and her daughter and their children. Making the extremely dangerous journey to the U.S. southern border, they are doing so because they see no hope in their current circumstance and are seeking it elsewhere. There is no way that a mother or a father would choose to make the 1,000-plus mile walk, and they do walk, with their children unless they felt they had absolutely no other choice. It is also in this same context that El Hogar works to provide hope for its children and their families. Our hope for them is that they attain the skills and the stability needed to create a middle-class life for themselves in their own country, to go to university, to learn a trade, to get a job and even a career, to build a future. One child who gains an education and the means to succeed can change the future for herself, her family, her neighborhood, her entire community. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words, and never stops at all. It is this hope that El Hogar seeks to nurture in the souls of the children and their families in Honduras. Thank you.